come up with great skill from him to wing the Mo Salah. Raheem Sterling, what a finish! What pure class from the Englishman.
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hey guys, welcome back to yet another episode of Premier Talk, episode 8. I'm your host, Andrew Mello. Alongside with me, as always, is Daniel Barbuto. Daniel, how's it going, bro?
Andrew, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Not too bad. We got a great episode. This is the last episode before the winter break. We're going to call it the end of the season. So it's the end of the first season of Premier Talk. We'll definitely be back in the new year. We've just been super busy of late, and we want to take some time off to enjoy ourselves, especially during the holidays. So we're going to stay tuned on the Premier League for sure, and then we'll be back in the new year. On today's starting lineup, we have Match Day 11 Recap. We got a new segment called I Play With, similar to the Who Am I segment.
We got our Champions League Recap.
And then also we have the Europa League Recap.
So we're going to start off here with our Match Day 11 Recap. Starting off on our first day, Saturday, December 5th, there was four games on Saturday. We got our first game was Burnley versus Everton. This one ended in a 1-1 draw. Brady scored in the third for Burnley, and then Dominic Calvert-Lewin equalized in the 45th. Again, not a very good look for Everton. They need to pick up as many points as they can here, especially with the great form they started off, but they've slowly tapered off throughout the season.
Yeah, just not an exciting game. Everton was almost nonchalant at times, and they didn't do enough. It's great to see DCL still getting on the score sheet for sure, and he's continuing his great run of form. But like we said, Everton's tapered off, and they've been a little bit more inconsistent. Great result for Burnley. They really needed this one. Super important for them because they're sitting at the bottom. They're sitting near the relegation zone, so a huge win for – or a huge tie, rather, for Burnley.
Yeah, it was. It was a very needed point. As much as you can look at Everton not getting the 3 points, Burnley, that point for them is huge. And I like how you said even DCL, he's staying consistent. For a couple games, he hadn't scored, but now he's getting consistently back on the goal sheet, which is great to see from an Everton fan point perspective.
Next up, we had Manchester City against Fulham. Fulham have been terrible. We already established this. They're one of those teams that are most likely are going to go down. I'd be super surprised if they didn't. Man City was very convincing early on in this one. They won 2-0, getting two goals early on in the game. Sterling in the 5th minute, and then De Bruyne, there's a foul in the box, and he netted home a penalty in the 26th. Just overall convincing first 30 minutes for Manchester City. They had some other chances in the game, but it finished as 2-0 for Manchester City. Huge win for City. You know, they didn't have the best start to the season, as we know. Daniel, we've discussed this before, and we talked about their struggles defensively and their struggles offensively that they've had at times. This was unusual for this Manchester City team, as we know, because they're very good every year. They're usually a top-tier team, and they usually always contend for the Premier League. And they're starting to get their wins in succession here, and they're at sixth place right now in the league. So definitely a huge win for them and a bounce-back win for them.
Yeah, it was a big win. I know, obviously, people are expecting them to beat Fulham, but the way that they've played to start the season, I know they're starting to get back on form now. So thank God that they did win, or else this conversation would be very different. But it's definitely a big win, and they definitely needed the 3 points. So for Manchester City, good for them as they continue to climb up the table and hopefully go and contend with the likes of Tottenham, Liverpool, Chelsea at the top of the table.
Yeah, Daniel, the other side of Manchester won as well on Saturday, December the 5th. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, this was a fantastic game. Manchester United came out against West Ham, and they came out so slow. West Ham scored in the first half. Thomas Suchek drew first blood in the 38th minute. And in this first half, it could have been 2-3-4-0 for West Ham. And then in the second half, something just turned in Manchester United. Like, I didn't know what had happened with this team. They brought on a couple substitutes, and I think Bruno had a massive role to play in this comeback victory, because Pogba scored an absolute banger from outside the box in the 65th minute, and then Greenwood scored a couple minutes later, and then Rashford put the icing on the cake in the 78th. But I think that Bruno had such a big role in this game. Coming off the bench, he knew he had to make a big impact against a team that Manchester United was struggling against in the whole first half. But then after half, this game easily could have ended 5-1, 6-1, because they had so many quality chances, a couple little miscues here and there, but it was a tale of two halves. It was insane, the difference from the first and the second.
Manchester United didn't show up in the first, but they definitely showed up in the second. That was evident in the attacking ability, in the and the opportunities that they had in the second half. And I think it just goes to show you how important Bruno Fernandes is to this team. He's just an important playmaking type player for this team. He doesn't just score penalties. He's going to get play started. He's going to create great opportunities for the offensive players on this Manchester United team. And I was reading a report today, Daniel, and I'm curious to know your opinion on this. It was from Mina Raiola, the agent of Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba is a highly rated Manchester United player, but he's obviously had his fair share of problems with the club, both personal and also on the field. And his agent comes out and says, "I can say that it's over for Paul Pogba at Manchester United." What do you think this statement means from his agent? Do you think this is actually, there's some basis to the statement? Do you think that he'll actually leave, or do you think he'll stay, Daniel?
Yeah, I saw this report as well. Raiola has never been a fan, really, of Manchester United, and I can't understand why. Every single time he has a player that goes to Manchester United, he always wants him to leave or like sign a different deal. He always encourages elsewhere, which I don't really understand why. I know, obviously, Manchester United in the past have taken players with really good potential or taken players that have proved themselves in other leagues and taken them, and they failed, such as you look at the likes of Alexis Sanchez. He comes from Arsenal as their best player, comes to United and barely plays, barely does really anything, gets a couple goals, a couple assists here and there, but doesn't really excel at Manchester United. So I can see as an agent standpoint why he'd be saying things like this. And he's always wanted Pogba to leave since he's come back to Manchester United from Juventus. So I don't know how much of this statement I believe, because Pogba just played one of his better games over the weekend. So I don't know where this statement's coming from or how true the statement is, but I don't think it's very valid right now, considering we haven't heard anything from Pogba.
Yeah, it was an absolutely amazing performance from Pogba over the weekend. A screamer of a goal, hit it so cleanly. One of the best goals I've seen in a long time. You know, Pogba's known for his screamers. They come, they're quite rare, but when they do come, they're absolutely phenomenal. That's mm-hmm. for sure. And it was just great. I really like Pogba. I really want to like him, even though sometimes he's lazy. We talk about him tracking back and stuff like that. But overall, a great performance from him and a huge win for Manchester United against a West Ham team that was posing some problems for some of the bigger sides in the Premier League this year.
So we just finished talking about my team coming out with a huge victory. Andrew, we're going to move to your Chelsea team.
I was hyped for this one. Going into the match, we knew that Leeds was a strong side. You know, obviously we mentioned this time and time again, my dark horse pick. They're not doing absolutely phenomenal this season. They're having a good season. They're newly promoted after so many years away from the Premier League. I didn't expect them to be, you know, a top eight side, which they're not. And they lost this one, but they came out very strong, Daniel, and it looked like they could have won this game because they started off very, very well. Bamford bagged the goal in the fourth minute off of a scrumptious pass from Calvin Phillips. I'm going to use that adjective of scrumptious because it was crazy. It was a crazy through ball to find Bamford, and he netted that one quite nicely. And then Chelsea counteracted that. Drew, he continued off his four-goal UCL form by netting another one and redirecting a James cross. And then Zuma also getting on the score sheet once again in the Premier League. He put up Chelsea 2-1 in the 61st minute by way of a header from a Mason Mount corner kick. Lovely header there. And then Werner, he had a blunder in the first half. It was like a huge commotion in front of the goal there. And it looked like he almost had stopped a Chelsea goal from going in because he mistimed his lunge and he almost like cut the ball instead of putting it in, which he tried to do. And he just darted down the wing late on in the game, 90th minute. Following that open goal miss, he made no mistake, and he just jetted down the wing and fed through a nice cross-goal pass to Pulisic, and Pulisic slid and got a toe to it to poke it into the net. Just Chelsea, they've been impressive. They've had a great stretch of late. I'm super impressed with them, not only in the Premier League, but as well in the Champions League. So huge results from Frank Lampard's men.
Yeah, I liked a couple things in this game. I liked, of course, Bamford getting on the score sheet because he's been fantastic. I know, obviously, Leeds didn't get the outcome that they hoped for, but they still played a fantastic game. I like Giroud scoring again because he's been of great form lately. We're going to talk about his multiple goal outing in the Champions League in a couple minutes. I liked Zuma again. He's been in fantastic form lately, continuing, and he's putting up a goals for Chelsea now, which is great to see. And then there's Werner. You look at Werner, he obviously, that blunder in the first half was absolutely bantered online by absolutely everyone. because it was a bad miss. Let's be honest. Like, he was basically like almost on the goal line.
Yeah, you stopped the goal from going in. Yeah, you stopped the goal from going in.
It wasn't very good, especially from your number nine, you're looking to for them to score goals. But then he made up for it, which is great to see. And he passed to Pulisic, and Pulisic scored his first goal since coming back from injury. So I think from a Chelsea standpoint, you're looking at your players that you need to perform, and they're performing right now.
Yeah, from a Chelsea perspective, it's a great result. Leeds, it's something for them to learn from, build on. But yeah, great overall win from Chelsea. Super happy for them. And I said last week in the last episode that, you know, I kind of want Drew to go. And what does he do? He scores 5 goals in the last 2 games. I still think that's a valid point because of his age. Also, the competition up top. I think it's quite odd for Werner to play out on the wing. I think Werner's needs to solidify himself down the middle of the park there at the center forward position, strike position, whatever you want to call it. And then there's Tammy Abraham, a young, exciting talent. He's had great stints on loan for Villa and also, you know, at his respective club, Chelsea. Now he's had some great results, great outings there too. So I think those two guys need to be the center of attention in the striking position rather than Drew. So I think Drew, I still agree with my point from before that he needs to go, even though he's been hot of late.
Right now, we're going to move on to Sunday, December 6th. There was another 4 games on Sunday. The first game was West Brom versus Crystal Palace. And this was a blowout from Crystal Palace. Like, they kept scoring and there was absolutely no turning back. And this Crystal Palace side has been weird. I know we've talked about this a couple times. They come and they beat top teams and then they go and they lose to bottom teams. And I think this was like a statement game almost saying that they're not as bad as people make them out to be because they absolutely destroyed West Brom 5-1. Benteke and Zaha both had 2 goals and it was a very needed convincing win against a relegation side because they need to prove to other teams in the Premier League that they have what it takes to score goals.
Yeah, this just proves our theory, Daniel, of how inconsistent they are. You know, they'll win some games by a 1-goal margin and against some of these bigger sides, and then they'll go loose to the smaller sides. But, you know, today they went 5-1, and no one would have expected this, even against the West Brom. No one expects Crystal Palace to ever score 5 goals in a game, one of them being an own goal from a West Brom defender. It was a great result for Roy Hodgson's men and something for Palace that they need to build on and continue doing well. And it's kind of weird to see Benteke on the score sheet. He's been non-existent over the years, but nice to see him get back on the score sheet there.
Yeah, it is good to see. Again, like Zaha, he's supposed to be probably Crystal Palace's best player. So he needs to continue to perform because teams have been asking for him and they've put a big price tag on Zaha that really haven't made sense. But if he continues to perform like this, I think that price tag will get teams' wheels turning because they need somebody like Zaha. There's a lot of teams that need somebody like Zaha. And if he continues to put up these goals, he'll do great for any team in the Prem.
Next up, we had Sheffield against Leicester. This was absolute heartbreak for Sheffield. They have yet to win a Premier League match this year in the 2020-2021 season. Quite embarrassing, really, after the season that they had last year. Quite understandable as well, though, because they don't really have the players of that caliber to be winning games in the Prem. I think they're naturally a second division side at best. But Leicester, they scored first. They drew first blood. Jose Perez's goal was cancelled out, though, only 2 minutes later in the 26th by Oli McBurney, the Scottish striker there. He tied the game at 1-1. And their hopes of a point were absolutely crushed in the 90th when Jamie Vardy jetted down the field and scored, you know, a nice finish there. And then I'm getting reports from the Leicester Police Department that he's wanted for murder because this guy just destroyed and sly tackled a corner kick flag out of celebration and he was cautioned for it. But yeah, it shows Jamie Vardy and how electric he is. And I love his personality and how much it meant to him. And it would have been great to see a stadium full of fans. And a lot of stadiums this weekend on that note were actually filled, not to capacity, but they had several sections of fans being able to come back. And that's just huge for the game. Huge for the players, huge for the clubs, huge for the sport, because we really do miss the fans and games are not the same without fans. I hate hearing the SFX soundtracks playing when someone scores or to sing an anthem. And it was just beautiful to see, especially in Liverpool, to hear the fans sing the YNWA song, their intro song. Mm-hmm. So just beautiful to see once again.
I want to talk about Jamie Vardy quickly before I talk about the fans back in the stadiums. This is typical Jamie Vardy fashion, you know? They're looking for a hero to win a game in the 90th minute. Huko runs all the way down the field and scores this goal to win this game, Jamie Vardy, and then goes and obliterates the corner flag.
It's the thing was shattered. 100 pieces is on the floor.
Typical Vardy fashion. Like that's just how Vardy works. And it was great to see because I think Leicester deserved to win this one, obviously, against lower tier Sheffield. And if you're Sheffield, I know like your dreams were crushed about getting a point against the top tier Leicester side, but Leicester came out on top and it was definitely deserved. To the point of fans in the stadiums, I love that there's fans in the stadiums again. I think that it brings so much more of an atmosphere to the games, and the players love it too because they have a crowd behind them and they can get motivation from this crowd. And I think that it's been a long time coming. Obviously, during this pandemic, we don't know what's going to come next, what's going to be taken away from us, or what's going to be brought back. But I think this is a fantastic thing for the sport, players, fans, everything, like you said. And I'm hoping that it can continue and we can definitely see a lot more fans in stadiums.
Yeah, it's an outdoor setting. So I think it's only right that you should be allowed to have people come to the stadium just as long as they're spread apart and following, you know, the rules. So I think it's great to have fans back. I didn't know until I started watching that there was indeed fans back for this weekend, match day 11. And I know it's just something for the players to feed off of and to get energy from. And they didn't have that for so many months on end during the lockdowns and whatnot. So I'm just super happy to see them back because it means so much, not only to the players, but to people watching the games.
Yeah, so our next game we're going to move on to here is Tottenham versus Arsenal. It was a fantastic game. It ended in classic Mourinho fashion for the Spurs. You know, he goes up a couple goals. First goal from Heung-Min Son, which was an absolutely fantastic finesse goal from outside the box that was curled into the top corner. It was absolutely class from Son. And then later on in the game, Kane scored, assisted by Son. So again, we're looking at Son scoring assisted by Kane and then Kane scoring assisted by Son. Those two are feeding off each other wonderfully right now. And then typical Mourinho kind of sat back, defended well against Arsenal. And it showed because Arsenal had 70 possession in the game. But that's how Tottenham's play style is. They go and they counterattack clinically, obviously, with Heung-Min Son and Harry Kane up top. You have pace that Son offers you and the skill and finishing from Kane, and Son has a little bit of everything. Tottenham is playing absolutely fantastic right now. Looking at Arsenal's standpoint, they're playing absolutely dreadful right now, sitting currently like in the bottom half of the table. They're in 15th right now. If you're Tottenham, this is a fantastic win for you. And if you're Arsenal, this is just, it's getting worse and worse as the weeks go by.
Yeah, this is dominant for Tottenham. Dominant not in the possession standpoint, but in the goal scored standpoint, because they came on, they scored two goals early on. They dominated in terms of asserting themselves into the game, and it was just a lovely finesse goal curled into the top right from Heung-Min Son. No chance for the goalkeeper. And then one of the best counterattacks I've seen in a while. Arsenal, they miss an opportunity, and then they're going to pay for it because Tottenham goes down the field extremely quickly. Sissoko moves the ball forward. Son receives it, and he goes to the left side of the box where he just dishes it off to Harry Kane. And Harry Kane, tight angle, he still makes the best out of it, and he smashes it bar down. No chance again for Leno. That's just brilliant coaching from Mourinho. To implement a play style where they defend. It's classic Mourinho. We know this is trademark Mourinho. Defend. But what does he do? They start plays so quickly, extremely quickly, to the point where teams cannot stop them. And that's what they did. And once they got that two-goal cushion, they sat back and just defended very nicely in an organized fashion. This is great from Tottenham. I'm super impressed by them. I didn't think Mourinho would be able to do this with the Tottenham side that has never won anything in their history, never had really any real substantial success in the Premier League. This is huge for them. This is a great, great start to the season. And if they're going to win their first ever PL trophy, it's going to be this year. It has to be this year because they're playing tremendously right now. And some of the other top tier teams are not playing as well.
I think many people questioned Mourinho's tactics when he was coach of Manchester United. And they just figured that his tactics were very outdated because obviously Mourinho, you know what he's done, what he's won. He's always played this way where they kind of drop back, defend, and then kill teams on the counterattack. And it didn't work for a team like Manchester United. I don't know if that was just the players they had, and this Tottenham team has players that can do this way better. But I think those of you who question Mourinho look like idiots right now because he's going and taking this Tottenham side that, like you said, has never won anything and He's looking like real title contenders, even though we're only 11 match days in.
Can we talk about the Arsenal fan TV viewing party for this game? It was absolutely hilarious. I love watching the reaction and seeing, you know, the Arsenal super fans go absolutely nuts and walk off of a live stream of them watching the game. It was just incredible just to see how angry they were at the way their team was playing. It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious for me.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I saw that one clip of the guy who he got angry and he started swearing and he threw something and he just walked off and that's it. He was done.
That sums it up for Arsenal, though.
It does because they've been playing absolutely horrendous right now. And obviously, if you look at their Europa League, they're playing very well in Europa League. But if you look at the teams that they're playing against, it's lower tier sides, and they can't keep up right now in the Premier League. And it's pretty sad to see because you expect them to always be, you know, they're considered to be a top six side in this league, and for them to be sitting right now in 15th, it's not a good look. And their fan base is getting frustrated right now with them.
Yeah, we're going to go to Liverpool against Wolves next. This was a shocker for me. I thought Liverpool was going to having a little more difficulty with this Wolves side. Wolves are a challenging side. No Raul Jimenez, fractured his skull against Arsenal. A serious, serious injury. Super sad to see him go down. One of my favorite players. Love watching him, especially when he was on Benfica, and always just been supporting him ever since. Super sad to see him go down. I wish him a speedy, speedy recovery. I hope to see him back on the pitch one day soon because he's a great player and an exciting talent there. He wasn't featured in this match, obviously, due to that reason. And Wolves, they just got demolished in this one. Salah scored in the 24th. Wijnaldum scored in the 58th. And Joel Matip got on the score sheet in the 67th. And to make matters even worse, right back for Wolves, Nelson Semedo, Portuguese international, scored an own goal. Just a difficult, difficult outing for Wolves. Something for them to definitely chew on for a bit and then have to, obviously swallow and move on to the next one. But they need to do some fixing here, especially against a Liverpool side that didn't even have their own goalie, Kelleher. Yeah, the youngster in goal. He played another great game, had some decent saves there. And Nico Williams, another starter right back due to Trent being away, and played quite well as well. So Klopp's giving some opportunity for the youngsters here, especially when there's some injuries and they're showing that they're more than capable.
I think a lot of people doubted this side. I know me and you probably did a little bit. We said that they're going to maybe drop a few games because the defensive injury struggles that they're having, and even just they're having a couple of players out with COVID-19 due to the protocols there. We thought that they were going to struggle a little bit, but in the league, it looks like they're not struggling very little, if anything at all, because they're still coming out and they're beating teams. Like, this was a pretty convincing win against the Wolves side. Obviously, if you're Wolves, you're missing your number nine, Raul Jimenez. And him going down against Arsenal was probably a big blow to this Wolves side because he scores a lot of their goals and he's a fantastic playmaker up top. So it is maybe a little bit of I don't know if I can say that they weren't probably feeling like playing this game. You know, their emotions are kind of running a little bit low because your star player has a fractured skull now. He's in the hospital. But, you know, Liverpool came out. They did what they had to do. They got the 3 points. And like you said, Wolves need to look at this game, draw from it, and move on. So there was one game that is still yet to go on. Actually, there was technically two games. There was one game that had gone postponed. It was Newcastle versus Aston Villa. That game had gone postponed. It was supposed to be on Friday, and that got postponed. And then there's one game on Monday, December 7th, Brighton versus Southampton. It hasn't happened yet. It will be happening in a couple hours. But we're going to look out for that one as well.
Yeah, Southampton's probably going to win that one. Brighton, they've had some decent results. They've shocked us. We underestimated them a little bit as well. But I think Southampton, in the form that they're in, they're going to come out. They're going to win this one because they need the points, especially against lower tier side in Brighton. They can't afford to drop points against Brighton.
So we're going to move on to our new segment here. It's called I've Played With. Andrew tested me last week with the Who Am I?
This is quite similar, though.
It is quite similar. So it's going to be basically, it's going to list three different players, and you're going to have to say who've played with those three players. I got a quiz in front of me here. A couple of them are pretty easy and a couple of them are a little bit more difficult. Andrew, how do you think you're going to do?
Better than you did, that's for sure.
I mean, I did pretty good last week. Last week wasn't
9 out of 10, right? 9 out of 10?
9 out of 10. You think you're
going
to
do better? I'm going 10 for
10. You're going 10 for 10?
Yeah.
Wow, this is...
It might be harder, though. This one might be harder because the one I gave you last week is kind of easy. I'm not going to lie. I would have got 10 out of 10 on that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's saying it would have gone to 10. I thought I did pretty well in that. You know, there was a couple ones that like I guessed a little bit, but like it wasn't bad. So we're going to start the quiz here. We got the I've Played With quiz. We got our first question. I've played with Fernando Torres, Joe Cole, and Dimitri Payet. Who am I? I'm going to give you multiple choice. All these questions are multiple choice. I'm going to give you three options. We got Daniel Sturridge, Eden Hazard, and Andy Carroll.
It's definitely not Eden Hazard. West Ham, Dimitri Payet had a brief stint there. So that's where Carroll played with him there. He also played on Liverpool with Sturridge and Torres. So it's definitely Andy Carroll.
You're actually incorrect.
What?
It was Eden Hazard.
No way.
You already won or 0-1. First question.
I think you would have got that wrong.
It was a difficult question.
I think you would have got that one wrong, Daniel.
I probably would have as well. So it was a pretty difficult question. The Dimitri Payet one was throwing me off because I definitely would have thought Andy Carroll as well because of Dimitri Payet West Ham stint. We're going to move on to the next question here. We got, I've played with Lucas Podolski, James Milner, and Peter Crouch. Who am I? Your three options are Gael Clichy, Jordan Shaqiri, and Bakary Sagna.
I think it's Sheridan because Peter Crouch played on Stoke. And who are the other two players you named?
James Milner and Lucas Podolski.
So he currently plays with James Milner. And Lucas Podolski, he could have played with him on Bayern Munich. I'm going to go with Jordan Shaqiri.
Jordan Shaqiri, you are correct.
Okay.
It was Jordan Shaqiri.
These questions get me thinking, Daniel, of like where people played. It's kind of...
Where people play. I feel like if you can get like two, because there's definitely... I feel like these questions, a lot of them, there's two really good, like easy, simple players that they've played with. And then the third one, it's like you're thinking back to like youth days or like teams that they played very briefly with. So we're going to move on to the next question here. Question number three. This one is a little bit harder. I've played with Stefano Okaka, Ilaquim Mangala, and Joe Hart. Who am I? We got Stefan Defour, Etienne Capoue, and Fabian Delph.
Fabian Delph, Etienne Capoue, used to play on Tottenham. I think currently plays for Watford. And who's the other name?
Stephen Defour.
Oh, Stephen Defour. He's another Portuguese. So I don't like him either. So that's where they would have played. They could have played in Porto together. I think Defour had a brief stint in the Premier League with Burnley, and that's when Joe Hart was there. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I think Stephen Defour.
You are correct.
Let's go. Oh, my knowledge is good, eh?
That was a difficult question. You did really well there. So you're 2-1 right now. We're going to move on to the fourth question. This one should be right up your alley. You got, I've played with Cristiano Ronaldo, James Rodriguez, and Rui Patricio. Who am I? We got Ricardo Pereira, Bernardo Silva, and João Moutinho.
James the outlier there. All these players that played with either Ronaldo or Moutinho. So say the names again.
Ricardo Pereira, mm-hmm. Bernardo Silva, and João Moutinho.
It's definitely not Ricardo Pereira. I think this one's tripping me up because it could be Bernardo Silva. But no, Bernardo Silva arrived at Monaco following James Rodriguez. So it has to be Moutinho. It's Moutinho.
That is correct. It's João Moutinho.
Let's go.
Well done with that question. So right now you're three correct and one incorrect. You're 3-1. We're going to move on to the fifth question here. So we got, I've played with David De Gea, John Stones, and Javier Mascherano. Who am I? Sergio Aguero, Alvaro Arbeloa, and David Silva.
Mascherano played with Aguero
mm-hmm.
on the national team. He's played with John Stones. And I think he played with David De Gea on Atletico Madrid. So I'm going to go with Sergio Aguero.
That was some mint thinking right there because you were correct in all three.
Let's go.
So right now you're doing well. You're 4-1. We're going to move on to the sixth question here. I've played with Fabio Barini, Phil Jakielka. I cannot say that name. Jakielka.
He plays on Sheffield right now, yeah.
And Seamus Coleman. Who am I? You got Romelu Lukaku, Jordan Pickford, and Leighton Baines.
I'm going to have to go with Lukaku here because Jakielka used to play for Everton, and so did Seamus Coleman. So that's where Lukaku would have linked up with the two of them. And I could lose track here with Barini. I think Barini possibly played down the lines, possibly on Inter now with Lukaku. So I'm going to say Lukaku.
You're actually incorrect.
Damn.
This one was Jordan Pickford. So you're still doing pretty well. You're 4-2 right now. We're going to move on to the seventh question. I've played with Idrissa Gueye, Gerard Piqué, and Mika Richards. Who am I? Adama Traore, Gerard De La Feu, and Alexis Sanchez.
I don't think it's De La Feu. I don't think so.
So Mika Richards played a lot in the Prem.
Yes.
Played for City, Aston Villa, and then Fiorentina.
I think maybe Adama played with Mika Richards. I'm going to say Adama Traore.
You are correct.
Let's go.
Well done there. That was
gonna be thinking, really, man. I have to think
really
hard.
Yeah, that was really good thinking. You're currently 5-2. We're gonna move on to the eighth question here. I've played with Stephen Calder, Johan Kabay, and Toby Alderweireld. Who am I? You got Mamadou Sakho, Harry Kane, and Christian Benteke.
No, it's not Harry Kane. I don't think Johan Kabay played with. I don't remember him playing on Tottenham ever. Benteke would have played with Toby Alderweireld on the Belgian national team, and also on Crystal Palace. Johan Kabay would have linked up with Benteke there. And who's the first name, the first player?
Stephen Calder.
No idea, but I'm going to go with Benteke here.
You are correct. It was Benteke. That was, again, very well done. You're 6-2. Moving on to the ninth question here. We've got, I've played with Emmanuel Adebayor, Wayne Routledge, and Gylfi Sigurdsson. Who am I? This is a pretty difficult one. You got Theo Walcott, Peter Crouch, and Lucas Fabianski.
Wayne Routledge, he used to play on Swansea, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to say Fabianski here.
Just going out on a limb with Fabianski?
Because Fabianski would have played with him, because Fabianski used to play on Swansea. And I think Wayne Routledge was there at the time, so that would make sense. And then Adebayor, I think Adebayor also had a stint with Swansea as well, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember too well. I think he was there. So I'm going to say Fabianski, yeah.
You're correct again.
Let's go,
You're doing fantastic right now. Yep, it was Lucas Fabianski who played with all three. We're going to move on to the last question here. We got, I've played with Romelu Lukaku, Aaron Lennon, and Wilfried Zaha. Who am I? Your three options are Scott Dan, Tom Cleverley, and Michael Keane.
Scott Dan currently plays for Palace. So that's where you get the link with Zaha. Mm-hmm. The other two players were Lukaku
and Aaron Lennon.
And I think Scott Dan possibly played on the national side with Aaron Lennon, because Aaron Lennon used to be a baller at one point. And then Lukaku is where I'm kind of like getting tripped up here. Scott Dan probably played with him on West Brom, because I think Scott Dan went through West Brom's system. So I'm going to say Scott Dan.
You're incorrect.
Damn.
It was Cleverley.
I didn't do too bad, man. Those were hard. Those are like, you have to think. And my knowledge of players playing in certain places is pretty good. It's not absolutely perfect, but it's pretty good. So I thought my logic for some of them made sense, even the ones I got wrong. But yeah, you can't get everything right.
You did a really good job considering it was pretty difficult questions. I know I wouldn't have been able to get a bunch of those. I probably would have gotten like some of the ones you got, but there was a bunch that like I was like, I have no clue, and I'm the one doing these questions.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was you did really well. You went 7 out of 10, which is pretty fantastic for a difficult test. So I mean, good for you. You did well.
All right. So on that note, we're gonna transition from that. That was really fun. I love doing those ones, testing my knowledge. We're gonna go to the Champions League recap. Daniel, Tuesday, December the 1st, we had Porto against Manchester City. It was a goalless game, 0-0. Boring. It's always boring when it's Porto playing. And Manchester City, you know, with this draw, they're guaranteed a spot in the knockout. And, you know, to give Porto a little bit of credit, they've been doing well in Champions League. So,
yeah, it was pretty boring. You know, just 0-0 games are usually pretty boring. Good for Manchester City, guaranteeing themselves a spot in the knockout stage. So it'll be fun to see them in the Champions League and in the knockout round against some better quality sides. We're going to move on to the Liverpool Ajax game right here. Liverpool came out on top in this one, 1-0. Curtis Jones scored the only goal in this one. And Liverpool just continues to find ways to win, even with their injury struggles. I know a lot of people doubted them coming into this one because Ajax is a pretty good side, especially they've done well in the Champions League. But they're still finding ways to win. And with this win, it guarantees them a spot in the knockout stage.
Yeah, a huge win for Liverpool. I mentioned this earlier in the podcast that Liverpool's young guns, they're getting opportunities here, especially with their big name players being out due to injury and also due to COVID. So great on them for scoring up on the score sheet, and not only doing that, but playing well. They've been playing tremendously well. They've been playing quality games. So big on them for their performances of late.
So we're going to move on to Wednesday, December 2nd. There's two games on Wednesday. We got the first one, my team, fantastic game, not the result we're looking for.
RIP United.
Manchester United versus PSG. PSG came out on top on this one, 3-1. Neymar scored really quickly in the 6th minute, and then Rashford equalized 25 minutes later in the 32nd to tie the game. PSG, you know, was playing very well throughout the game. There was definitely chances on both sides, but Marquinhos finally found the back of the net in the 69th minute to put PSG ahead. Then you got Fred off the kickoff. Fred's already on a yellow, been cautioned multiple times for bad tackles throughout the entire game. Right off the kickoff, passes the ball to Fred. He takes a massive touch, awful touch. PSG attacker comes, runs onto it, takes the ball off him, and he clips him from behind. You know, he did get a little bit of the ball, being fair to him. But again, it wasn't a very good tackle, given his second yellow card. And just like that, within 2 minutes, not only has United gone down 2-1 in this game, but also put to 10 men because of Fred's second yellow. And then Manchester United, even with 10 men, they still had the pressure. They know they had to try to at least get a point from this game. But Neymar sealed the deal in the 90th minute with a good goal. But overall, it was a pretty entertaining game to watch because there were so many chances throughout the game, and this game easily could have gone either way.
Yeah, this was a fiery match at times. Scott McTominay wasn't happy at the half at halftime due to what he says was flopping from the PSG side. So definitely some little bit of beef there. And then tough for Manchester United to lose. And what does this do? This leaves the most entertaining and most even group, in my opinion, with Leipzig, PSG, Man United, and then there's Istanbul. But I don't think Istanbul, you know, anyone was going to think great of them and that they were going to contend to even go to Europa League. But all three teams, Leipzig, United, and PSG, all sit at 9 points. So it's going to go down to the wire in the last match day. And Man United's going to need a big, big result against Leipzig because we know PSG is going against Istanbul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully Manchester United, they just need to tie the game even without the 1 point they go through over Leipzig because they beat them 5-1 in the first match, or 5-0. We're going to move on to the Sevilla-Chelsea game. Andrew, I want you to talk just a little bit about Drew. Just mention his name really quick.
True, yeah. We mentioned him earlier in the podcast, but this guy, man, like 4 goals. No one expected this from Drew. We know he's a good striker, a class striker. Scoring the 8th minute, the 54th minute, the 74th minute, and the 83rd. So this, and you know, in the end, wasn't Chelsea 4-0 Sevilla. It was Drew 4-0 versus Sevilla. It was a one-man show here. Scored all 4 goals. And with this win, Chelsea are guaranteed a spot in the knockout stage. They're definitely going to top their group here with this win. Sevilla was their, you know, most difficult competition. Krasnodar was not going to give them, you know, anything there substantial.
Krasnodar.
Daniel loves saying that. But yeah, Sevilla, they tied 0-0 first game. I was kind of disappointed. We know Sevilla is a good side, a quality side. They always contend for Europa League each and every year. And then they showed up the Champions League this year. They gave Chelsea a hard time in the first game. Chelsea should have won that one, in my opinion. And then, you know, Chelsea showed them who's boss this one. And they had a great convincing win, a great team win as well.
We're going to move on to Europa League recap right here. We're going to end the episode off with this. These last 3 games we're going to discuss quickly. We got Thursday, December 3rd. This day started off with LASK versus Tottenham. This game ended 3-3. Gareth Bale, Heung-min Son, and Dele Alli scored for Tottenham. It was definitely a very back-and-forth game. You know, there were 6 goals scored. But it's not the result Tottenham wants to see, especially in this competition, because LASK has been – they beat them in the first game, but now they're coming out and they're tying them, dropping points. And with these dropped points, they're currently sitting in second in their group, although they are guaranteed a spot in the knockout stage. They may be playing a better opponent because they're in second, but then again, it all comes down to the last Europa League match day.
Daniel, I don't really care about Europa League and Tottenham. I care about Europa League, but not Tottenham. Tottenham, they're first place in the Premier League. We got to give them some credit here. I'm a Chelsea fan, and I don't like Tottenham. I love Mourinho, though. I don't like Tottenham. But they deserve what they're doing in the Premier League because they're playing amazing. So I think for them to for the coach to play some lower tier players, not regular starters in the Europa League, and them to tie is not that big of a deal against LASK because they're already making another group. I don't think that's their priority this year to win Europa League. I think Mourinho's priority is to win the league because that would mean so much more to the club, and it would elevate the club so much more than it would if they won the Europa League, even though they've never won the Europa League. So I'm not too concerned with this result. I'm more concerned with their results in the Premier League because that's what they look like. That's what it looks like they're giving all their effort to.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned with this next result from another Premier League side?
Well, Leicester, I would be more concerned because this is a shocking result for Leicester. Leicester, we know they have a big focus on the league, but to see them progress and do well in Europa League would definitely be something that we'd like to see. They're obviously going to make it out of the groups. They beat Athens, no problem. Braga, they beat them as well. So, you know, Leicester's going to obviously make it out of this group. That's established. But for them to lose against a Ukrainian side in Zorya, it was just weird. It was super weird. There was only one goal that came in the 84th. It was late on. It was just a slip up from the defense there. Just they're currently sitting on top of the group. Like we said, they're going to make it out. But just a weird result from them. And I thought they would have won this one, or at least drew, considering that, you know, they're the team that they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the last one featuring Premier League sides was Arsenal versus Rapid Vienna. And again, this is what you expect from Premier League sides, especially in the early round robin of the Europa League. They're coming out, they're beating Rapid Vienna, I cannot say that name, 4-1. Lacazette, Pablo Mari, Nketiah, and Emile Smith-Rowe scored for Arsenal. I think this was an expected outcome. Rapid Vienna, you know, lower tier side. And Arsenal is doing fantastic right now in Europa League. Obviously, they're not doing very well in the league. Could that be they're focused on Europa League a little bit more? Maybe they're playing lower tier sides, maybe a little bit of both.
Well, I think Arsenal needs to focus out of getting out of relegation, because that's where they're going to end up pretty soon, because they're right there at the bottom. They're kissing the relegation zone. Mm-hmm. So I think they should also step up their game in the Premier League, because it's a joke. It's a joke. And that shows who's best in London, no doubt about it. They're just two different worlds, and Chelsea's the best. They're the best in London, even though Tottenham's having a great, great season. But Arsenal, they'll always be in our shadow because you know, they underperform like this all the time. So,
I mean, Arsenal is 5-0 currently in Europa League, and they are guaranteed a spot in the knockout.
Yeah, but Rapid Vienna of Austria, come on, bro. And then, you know, we also have Dundalk United from Ireland.
Yeah, they're expected to come out on top, but you know, 5-0, you got to give them credit where credit's due. Again, expected win from Arsenal.
They should have allocated some of these goals and effort in the Premier League. That's what they needed to do.
Hopefully they can step up their game in the Premier League and continue their form right now in Europa League.
Daniel, this marks the end of the episode. How do you feel, man? We put in a lot of work. 8 episodes we got out in the first season, the first semester of our second year of university. This is something I've always wanted to get into, podcasting. I really love just talking about things I'm passionate about, and that's the Premier League, that's soccer or football, as many like to call it. But Daniel, how do you feel? Like, this was just great to work with you as well. How do you feel about like getting out this podcast and you know, giving something for people to listen to?
You know, it's been great. I'm with you, Andrew. I love giving content to the people, and we're talking about something that we're very passionate about. This isn't the end for us. We're obviously going to be back next season on Spirit Live, on Apple Podcasts, and we're hoping to also go on to Spotify Podcasts for those of you that are hoping for that as well. We love doing this for you guys, and we hope that you guys enjoy listening. We will be back in the new year, so just stay tuned, and we hope to see you guys soon.
Yeah, thanks for always joining us. Whoever's out there listening, we appreciate your following, and we'll be back soon. So happy holidays, everyone, and then that marks the end of episode 8, the end of the season. Dramatic title that Daniel liked to call it. So I'm Andrew Mello as always, and alongside with me is my co-host Daniel Barbudo. Happy holidays, everyone.
See you later.
Merry Christmas.